downloading the Cloydcast, a child-led podcast brought to you by Clyde Primary School. Hello everybody and welcome to this week's Cloydcast. And this week we've got some very special interviewers and a special guest. So today we have our first Year 3 and Year 4 pupil. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Isabella Fish and I'm in Year 3.
My name is George and I'm in Year 4.
Thank you, guys. Welcome. Are you excited?
Yes.
Very much.
Good. And today we've got a special guest. So we have Roger.
Hello.
Hi, welcome. And George and Isabella, you've got some questions that you're going to ask.
Definitely.
Shall we start?
Yes.
Cool.
What does Sustrans do?
Sustrans, oh, we do lots and lots of things. I work on the side of Sustrans where we deal with trying to change people's travel behaviour. We try and make it easier for people to walk, wheel, cycle, scoot, and get around without cars. It doesn't say we don't expect to ever go out in the car. It's just a case of sometimes we want to give you the choice not to have to go in the car. Yeah. So if you're going to go a quarter of a mile down the road to get a pint of milk, why are you carrying 2 ton of car with you to get that little pint of milk? And you could walk or cycle or scoot, yeah?
Yeah, it's become too easy, hasn't it, to just jump in the car.
And sometimes it's just, it isn't, you say, why do you not walk or scoot? And it's like, it's too dangerous. Well, that's what we're here to, we're going to try and change it so it's not dangerous. So you have the choice to have a 5 minute walk to the shop to get your pint of milk and not be driven there. So we have behaviour change. So I work with schools. I'm an active journeys officer. And my job is to try and increase the number of children who come to school walking, cycling, scooting. And there are a lot of barriers for you guys to travel to school. I'm here to try and break some of them down. So one might be, you don't know how to ride a bike. I can sort that out, and the council can help sort that out. It may be, I haven't got a bike, or maybe we can work out a way of getting people to drop off the old bike, because I can fix them up and then pass them on, you know, to people who need a bike. Or it might be you don't know how to cross the road. Well, you have curbcraft then to do that. So that's one barrier. Another barrier might be the traffic outside the school zooming past. Now, what can we do about that? Well, we can speak to the council and we can have things like a school street where we close that street during drop-off and pick-off time. That could be possible in the future. So we then make that street safe. Yeah, maybe we can identify where crossing could go in. And maybe try and find a lollipop person, which is always a hard thing to do. So you bring your bikes and scooters to school. Have you got somewhere to put them? Well, at the moment you've got a few places to put them, but they could be more, and they could be covered, and they could be safer. So these are all the sort of things trying to they're sort of barriers to you travelling actively. And I bet your parents go, "I'm not letting you walk to school because it's too dangerous." Do they sometimes say that to you?
My mum doesn't say it, so mostly my dad says it, but my mum doesn't.
Yeah.
Do you both live close?
I live more far away past that green school, and past the leisure centre in the shortcut then.
But you can still walk, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just past where their biggest water tower is.
Excellent.
On that street.
Oh, good. So you're walking quite a way.
Yep.
Good.
So one of the people who helped me today said, "I'm not allowed to walk to school today because it's too dangerous to walk on my own." So I suggested, well, when I was a lad, everybody walked to school and there was safety in numbers. So maybe you could get a group of you to meet up somewhere, to get dropped off somewhere together away from the school and finish off, you know, a few minutes walk. Could you walk 5 minutes, do you think?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
15?
Yeah.
You should get it at 10.
You could. Look at you all dressed in your sporty gear. You could.
But this thing, if you drew a map and worked out how far you can walk in 5 minutes and 10 minutes, it is surprising how far you can get. So if we could find ways of getting children to meet up away from the school and get dropped off, they could then walk to school and have a lot less cars causing all the dangers outside the school. and the air pollution that it causes. So that's the behaviour change side of things. We also have what we call infrastructure. We have people who design places and design routes and work with people to work out where to put in, where do you want to have a route put in, an active travel route. All right, we'll work out how to put one in there then. An active travel route is like a cycle lane or a shared path you can walk and cycle on. And then they work with some schools to improve the area outside the school. And have any of you cycled along the very wide path on the seafront in Swansea?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of National Cycle Network. It's Route 4 of the National Cycle Network. Sustrans designed that at the turn of the millennium, about 2000. Oh. Got a lot of money from the Millennium Fund at the time. So it's now 1,000, 1,500 miles of cycle lanes around, called cycle lanes, they're shared paths around the whole of the UK. And Sustrans was involved with that.
Are they a charity then, or is it a council?
Yeah, it is a charity. Yes, it's a charity. We're funded by various funding, mainly Welsh Government at the moment, but we're trying to look for funding a bit broader than that, because you don't want all your eggs in one basket.
So we could fundraise for Sustrans or something if we were to do.
Yes, you could do, with the big walk and wheel. In the past there has been a fundraising day where we said you can raise money for us or you can raise money for somebody else, but yes we are a charity. And we're always welcomed any donations like that, because when you get a donation it's like, what can we do with this money? It's not specifically for one thing. We can choose where to spend it and stuff, but we'd probably want you to reinvest in the school to do stuff in the school.
That'd be nice. Fab. George, do you want to ask yours?
Active travel, what are the benefits?
So what is active travel? I'll ask you, what do you think active travel would be?
Walking? Driving? Wait, bicycling?
you said it before. So cycling?
Walking.
Yeah? What else?
Scootering?
Yeah. It could be skateboarding, rollerblading. Anything that requires you using your own power, your own energy. Electric scooters? Not at the moment, as you probably know, very popular, but they are, strictly speaking, illegal at the moment. They'll have their space in the future, done properly, but they don't get you fit, really.
Mm.
It's a whole subject you could discuss in class. Are they good or are they not good? You know.
They're not.
I suppose they're good for the environment, but...
Well, the Sustrans, the way that we feel at the moment is they don't replace walking journeys. No, they replace walking journeys. They don't replace car journeys.
Yes,
So it's... But I'd rather somebody was on an electric scooter than a car at the end of the day, because that's better for the environment. But it's a contentious thing, you know.
Yeah.
It could be part of the mix, but when used properly, you've got to go a little bit further or something, you know.
It's like using
the correct tool for the job. You know, you wouldn't need to come on an electric scooter to school, would you? Because you've got legs. Yeah, but if you live 3 miles away, well, that's quite a way. It's quite easy. It's surprisingly that it's fairly easy on a bike, but electric scooter might be the thing that enables you to do it rather than come in a car. So that's all part of the future. So that's travel, anything but coming in a car or taxi, really, isn't it? And the benefits, well, what are the benefits of cycling, scooting and walking? Asking you.
What's the benefit of walking? What does it do?
Making you strong.
Makes you strong, makes you...
Fit?
Yeah. Have confidence, guys, in your answers. You know it. It makes you fit, yeah. Is it better for you than just getting in the car?
Yep.
Yeah.
Way better for me.
Mm. Yeah. Why?
Because that there will be more traffic and there will be more people getting hurt.
Yeah, so it could be safer. Yeah. You're right.
I once spoke to a school, right, where before I started working with them, nobody came on a bike or a scooter. And it wasn't because the school was against it, it was because they didn't know. And so it was a new thing for them. At the end of the first year, the PE teacher came over to me and said, I've had an improvement in all of my school teams. And he put it down to the fact that more children were coming to school actively. It was better for their sport. They were fitter.
Mm.
You know, it's only anecdotal. It's not scientific, but that I remember very clearly telling me that. He definitely saw an improvement in all his school teams. So, keeping fit is one. Imagine you wake up in bed a warm bed, you get up into a warm house, you eat your cornflakes, get into a warm car, then you get into a warm classroom.
Mm.
Do you think you'd be wide awake?
No.
No.
Be sleepy and dozy and
warm. Yeah.
So, that's me in the morning.
Oh, is it? Even though you walk?
So actually, a Danish, from Denmark, a scientist did some research and showed that children who come to school actively, so walking, cycling or scooting, can concentrate as well as children 6 months older than them, and that lasts for the first 4 hours of the school day. So, if you're more alert, is your schoolwork going to be better or worse?
Better.
And then are your test results going to be better or worse?
Better.
What sort of job might you get eventually?
Better.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been shown that it helps you, your concentration, and helps you with your, what you call, attainment, how well you do.
And George, you do really well, don't you? Mm. So your walking must be helping, because
exactly,
you are great, and you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so you two are both products of that.
I've got 2 badges so far.
Oh, well done.
Mm. I only got 1 so far.
Amazing, though, to have any badge. That's great.
Fantastic.
Trying to get more.
Mm.
So other benefits, what do you think the air is like out there in the morning, or the cars? Do you think it's clean or do you think it's dirty?
Dirty.
Very dirty.
Probably loads of carbon dioxide out there.
Well, yeah, there'd be a lot of carbon dioxide floating up into the atmosphere. There's also sooty stuff coming out of the diesel, the tyres, leave rubber and plastic. Got asbestos from the brake pads, lots of things we weren't that aware of, really. Yes, it's, and I have got a flow meter, which will, if I get it work up and running, maybe we'll try it out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
See what we pick up live.
Yeah.
You know, as evidence, just telling your parents, this is, you know,
yeah.
This is what you're pumping out into your children's lungs every morning. Because you can't see it, people don't realise it, they ignore it's there, yeah. So it's, yeah, so if you come actively, it's cleaner, it's better for you, it's a cleaner environment for everybody, not just you, but for everybody. And cheaper. If your parents got cars, ask them how much it costs when something goes wrong.
Mm.
Really expensive. On a bike, not a lot. Scooter, pennies, you know, really cheap.
We're having loads of problems with my car. We had our seal ripped off when we went to a zoo, and then we had, we're having a leak now as well.
Oh yeah, Friday to rip the rubbers off. Ah, was it monkeys,
God.
Was it, or something?
Yeah.
Yes. yeah, but literally, as soon as the car sniffs a garage, you're talking about a 3-figure number, you know, so it's expensive. So, well-being, exercise is good for how, have you heard of the expression well-being?
Yeah.
Sort of how happy you feel. So, people who exercise tend to feel better about themselves, because exercise releases a thing called endorphins. It's your happy chemical in your body. Yeah, and I know I used to work in a body shop, and if I'd had a bad day in the shop, maybe a customer had a go at me, sort of thing like that, I'm a bit fed up. My 20-minute cycle bike ride home in London, although it was quite scary, it felt good to get it out of the system. It made me feel better. It's good for, if you have a stressful day, go for a walk or a cycle ride or something, and it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
So, and a big main important thing is fun. Walking, cycling, scooting, much more fun being stuck in the back of the car. You know, your parents cursing all the people in the way. Yeah? Yes. You see all your friends, you say hello, and you have a bit of banter, and you see things. You know, I'll cycle along, I'll see a fox running across a field, and I got time to stop, and, oh, where's the fox going? Oh, it's going up to a farm. And it's like, oh, he's got chickens there. Oh, I hope he's got his chickens tied in well. You know, and you've got time to see that, whereas in the car, like today, I did see a heron take off, and, hey, that heron, gone.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get a chance to appreciate and just stop and look at something really beautiful. Isn't it? Yeah.
Is next one.
What are your top tips for improving the road safety issues outside our school?
Well, I think the top tip really is to try and reduce the number of cars out there. When I came to visit your school, I had a shock, because I had a lot of stuff to carry, and I came in my car. And the way people were behaving out there was just, you know, mounting the pavements, blocking the way, people running out from between parked cars. And I couldn't see them because the parked cars were hiding them. Less cars out there, that's the secret. If people think, oh, I live far away, we can talk about something called park and scoot, or park and stride. So you park a little way from the school, do like this 5-minute walk, somewhere 5 minutes away, and walk the rest of it. If everybody did that, there'd be a lot of people walking together, wouldn't there? And it'd be a lot safer. Keep that road empty. Yeah, keep it totally empty. Yeah, and maybe one thing we'll do as a school, probably year 5 and 6, we'll go out and have a look at the routes to school and identify where the dangerous places are. Oh, it's hard to cross the road here because cars go too quick. Rightio, I'll write that down, take a photograph, send it to the council. And in the future, in the next few years, hopefully, get something done about it. And whatever the young people tell me, hopefully will happen. You know, they can put stuff in.
Yeah, the reason this all began, really, was because on that road we had a near miss. And one of our children was nearly hit by a car because he couldn't be seen. So that prompted Year 5-6 to start this project where we are trying to make Epping Road safer for our children. And that's how I got in touch with Roger then. So we're working now on making that road safer. But we've got to look at what we can do first. We can't just go, the council can stick that in and it will work. We've got to look at our behaviour, haven't we, as a school?
And my role is talking to the council as well, because I know the engineers, I've had replies, I've brought it to attention. In fact, I had a near miss there. I was driving really, really carefully, but a car came towards me, so I had to stop and reverse a little bit very carefully. And then, oh, but then he pulled in onto the pavement, which he shouldn't really be doing. So as I was pulling forward gently, I could, in where the car, where the front of the fret of the windscreen is a bit of metal. And it was pouring down, so I couldn't see much out. And a mother and a daughter were trying to cross between two vans. I really didn't see them until the very last second. It made me jump, because I was being so careful, yet I still hadn't seen them. Now, when it weather's that bad, you can imagine people, oh, in a hurry to get out of the rain. They could easily have run out in front of me or something. You know, and that shocked me, because I was being so careful, yet I still felt I had a near miss. And that scared me. And so I've reported that, so that will go on to the statistics and the council as a near miss, being recognised. You know, it should be. You know. And we discussed it. It's a bit early days for doing a school street yet. They're at their very infancy in Swansea Council doing school streets, looking to all the legal things to close off a street. You have to put number plate recognition and things like that.
Yeah.
Some residents are allowed in, and you just ask them to be careful, and teachers, you know, some people will be allowed to go in carefully, but general public, no, you know, so it's early days yet, but I can see it happening in the next few years, you know, it's something that's going to explode, everybody will want one.
Yeah.
One says, oh, they've got one of these, why can't we have one of these? You know, it's like that, really.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that road having no cars out there.
Would
that feel a bit better? I mean, the cars might be a little bit further away, but at least you've got a section outside the school where it feels safe and clean and stuff like that.
Yeah. George, do you want to ask the next one?
What is the big walk or wheel event?
The big walk or wheel, or Strolioch a Rolioch, that's the Welsh name for it. It's the UK's largest active travel competition. So you've got schools from all over the UK taking part in it. And it's over 2 weeks, the 11th to 22nd of March. And it's the schools have to encourage as many children to walk, cycle and scoot as possible. And each day you measure how you got to school, and then there's a league table in percentages. So if a school gets 100% coming in, well, they'll be near the top of the table. But it'd be fun to go on the website to look at the map of where the schools are, because you get them on the Shetland Islands.
Yeah.
You know, and then go on screen, just have a look at some of these schools, like on these beautiful islands, in the middle of nowhere, low roofs, like stormproofing and stuff like that. They're doing it everywhere all over the UK. I forget how many people just signed up so far. I think it's a couple of thousand schools around the UK. We used to get a couple of hundred at least around Wales. At the moment in Swansea, we're about 16 or 17, I think, something like that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so yeah, this is good. It's all been taken off. And normally, what you find is when schools do it once, they tend to keep on doing it. It's one of the things they do every year. It's like an annual event.
Yeah.
It's fun. And the thing is, in that 2 weeks, parents, if you do it for one day, parents go, oh, I've got to do this for today. I've got to change what I do today. I've got to walk this far. If you do it for 2 weeks, people actually go, actually, this is all right. I could do it. I don't get stuck in the traffic. It's not hassle.
Yeah,
it's
don't get stressed. Nice. Don't get stressed.
Road rage. Meet people. Have a chat with people. And some people do start walking. No, doing a little bit of active travel because they realise actually it's a bit nicer than being stuck in all that mayhem. And what I always say is, do you want to be part of the problem or part of the solution?
Yeah.
You know. So if you want to be, you know, if you ask the parent to be part of the problem, part of the solution, it might help encourage some of the parents to think about doing something different. Because sometimes just people haven't even thought about it. I went to one school, did my assembly, and actually travel went up immediately because people just hadn't thought about it.
Yeah.
you know, it's not on the radar. Yeah. They're too busy thinking of everything they've got to do, which is inevitable. So a big walk and wheel, do the best you can and keep safe. See whether you could be there. You could compete between classes, you could compete with other schools, or whole Swansea, or even the UK. We had a win at Swansea Terrace Road Primary, and Swansea won it a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In the UK. At the time, it
was... And that's very busy around there, yeah, isn't it?
It was during lockdown, you see, so you were able to count internal journeys.
Yeah.
And they were very organised, I think. Yeah. Sure everybody did something every day, which is fine.
Yeah.
But now that rule changed, it was like...
Yeah.
A bit harder now. Yeah.
Thank you, Roger. That's lots of good information there.
What schools took part in it?
What schools took part in it? We're in Swansea. Would have been...
just near us, is it? The ones you might know.
Town Hill.
Yeah.
St Helens. A bit further afield. Casluche, Trichav, Gorsainen, Penarail, all the Gorsainen ones. Who else is around here? I'm going to just move into this area, really.
Yeah, we've got Grosse, Pirlais, Portmead.
None of them. Yeah, you're first.
I wonder if we're first in our cluster. That would be good.
It could be. Yeah.
We'll have to have a look.
Yeah. But I've always been on my target schools up this way because it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so shall we see if Roger is smarter than a 10-year-old? Are you ready? This is the bit now where we test you. Test your knowledge.
Can I phone a friend?
No.
Okay, off you go.
What is the largest continent?
Largest continent? Ooh, I'd say continent. Continent. Now, I would think it's that big one at the bottom of the globe. Is it Antarctica? Or is it... Australasia? Or is it... Europe? Asia?
Yay! He said it!
I definitely got that one wrong.
good knowledge of continents, though,
you know. Yeah, so all the right continents, not in the right order.
Yeah.
What is the chemical...
Symbol
of gold?
Gold. Oh, I know. I mean, in Welsh, it's AU, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well done.
Yes.
Phew. What's the highest mountain in Great Britain?
Highest mountain in Great Britain? Oh, I like my mountains. So that would be the Scottish one, wouldn't it? Which would be Ben Nevis.
Yay. Well done.
Not being up it.
Which planet is closer to the sun, Mercury?
You just gave the answers.
Darn it.
I was going to say Krypton or something.
Which planet is closest to the sun?
Oh.
And the answer is?
Saturn.
You can have that point. You can have that point on his.
What would I have said? Gosh, I'm not sure. I would have got Mercury. I don't know. I might have said,
don't remember the little rhyme.
It wasn't Pluto or Neptune. Mars, I might have said Venus or... I think I said Venus or Mercury, I think.
I know lots about space.
Do you? Oh, we'll save it for another podcast.
Yeah, yes.
Go on there, George.
What is the first layer of the ocean called?
The first layer of the ocean called? Wow. And I did a degree in geography.
That's what we're currently learning in year 5-6. So they wrote these questions.
It could be something sphere, is it?
No.
Oh.
It's got a posh name and a easier name.
The top of the ocean. Oh, the waves.
Yeah.
That's the top. Oh, I'm going to kick myself in here, this one. This could be a blast from the past.
Is it, George?
Sunlight Zone.
It's the Sunlight Zone. Can you say the posh name? It's a really tricky... Epipelagic, yeah.
Oh, epipelagic zone. Yes.
And he sings it in Nemo, actually. Have you seen Finding Nemo?
No.
With Mr. Ray, the teacher?
No.
And he sings the song of all the layers?
No.
It's very educational, that.
Yes, so. I did learn that in 1982.
My voice was light back then.
Oh, gosh, just to make you feel better.
I was in black and white.
But a bit buff after that.
It was black and white, it was full colour.
Right, thank you guys. Did you enjoy your first podcast?
Yes.
You were brilliant. Excellent. Roger, did you enjoy?
I thoroughly enjoyed that, yeah.
Thank you for giving us all that information. So hopefully that will be helpful to lots of our parents and children and ready for our big walk or wheel event now coming up. So thank you. And thank you if you've listened to this. And we will see you next time on the Cloydcast. Da-da-da. Bye. Bye.